Good evening and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Ramita from South Carolina. Welcome, Ramita.
Hello, Michael.
How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm glad I got through. I had a little technical difficulty, but persevered, and here I am.
Great. It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
Hey, tell us a little bit about facilitator training.
Yeah, facilitator training. Facilitation is something that I've done in my work, my professional life, for a long time. And I know that's really different than being part of my spiritual practice. And I've wanted to learn to facilitate sitting groups. And being in South Carolina, I have not been able to go out to the monastery to participate in the trainings they've had for facilitators. So when I heard that this opportunity was coming up where there would be facilitators old and new around the country, actually maybe in other countries as well, participating via telephone and conference calls and working together to support each other in developing skills of facilitation, I was really, really grateful for that. And it's been quite a remarkable experience. I guess we've been going for 3 or 4 weeks now.
Yes, it has been great. And I've been a part of it as well. And for me, it's a real blessing to feel that kind of support from the monastery and to have kind of a line on the direct experience from the monks about what facilitation is and really grounding that in my spiritual practice generally.
Yeah, it's been that way for me too, to hear from people with all different levels of experience talk about what it's like, the voices that come up, how to deal with the voices and go beyond them to be present and create an opportunity for the facilitator to deepen practice, but also create the privileged environment in different locations away from the monastery so that people can practice what we know so well, what we know works so well at the monastery.
Yeah, yes. I was thinking just as you were saying that, it does have that feel of taking those elements of the privileged environment, in fact, all of the elements of the privileged environment, and really recreating that in various locations around the country and around the world. And what's so special for me about that is, about facilitation generally, is that it really requires me to show up and be there and be present, and it becomes really obvious when I'm not.
Oh, yeah, it really does. You get to see perfect, you know, we're doing a lot of reflective listening as facilitators, but I'm also finding that sitting in front of the group, I'm getting reflected back so much of what my own conditioning is and what the voices are saying. And putting that aside, you know, making a clear choice, where do I want to focus my attention in this moment? If I focus on the voices, I'm going to miss what's going on in the group. So it's a really good practice to stay centered, notice where my attention is going, and if it starts drifting, bringing it right back over and over again.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing, isn't it? We're you or I or whomever is there sitting on the cushion, and I'm attempting to listen to this person and reflect them, facilitate them. And it seems like the voices are just right there, and there's every kind of distraction comes in to try to take me away from that moment and listening and being present to that person to assist them to see their process.
Mm-hmm. And staying with my own, feeling the sensation and being really present with myself. And, you know, I've always known, and I've heard Sherry talk many times about how, you know, in the silence, practicing in the silence is much easier than practicing in dialogue or communication with other people. You know, something about the human voice and sitting face to face and having a conversation, boy, it just goes right off into conditioning. So using this interpersonal interaction, which is so much part of how we operate in the world, and making that a very clear, very focused practice has been really remarkable. And I find that it's a lot easier for me to stay present when I'm in my everyday life outside of group because of the facilitation skills that I'm learning.
Yes, it's great. It's so fascinating what you just said about how just in the silence with ourselves, perhaps that's the most ideal circumstances for being present and centered. And then we get in that situation where we're in front of another person or interacting with another person, and the skill level that's required to stay present during that seems, you know, almost, you know, many times higher than when I'm by myself. And I love that in the privileged environment, the way that it's set up is it really seems to show me when I'm present and when I'm not present. And just like you're saying, I have that skill to take with me when I go about my daily life because it's filled with interactions with other people. And to the extent that I can be present to those interactions is really helpful for my life.
Definitely, exactly. And the structure that the monastery is offering us, not only do we have a formula for how we do the groups, but we've got specific readings from the key that we use as a focus for our discussions each evening. And, you know, the key is such a wonderful book. It's the first one Sherry wrote, and, you know, reading it over, I read the whole thing over as I knew we were going to be using it for the group just to refresh my experience of it. And, you know, every book, everything that we work on is contained in the key. Every book, it seems like each of Sherry's books since then has been an expansion of this phrase from the key or that point from the key. And just going back to the original text and sitting and talking about it with people, reflecting people as they consider what that brings up for them is something very magical, as well as the fact that all of the groups are doing the same reading at the same time. So I really feel, you know, this week I'm reading this, this week we're talking about this, and so is everyone else who's in the facilitation training. It just makes that sense of Sangha very, very tangible to me.
Yes, tangible is the word that came to mind as you were talking. So for people who are not familiar with this, what Rumita's describing, what you're describing is that the various sitting groups around the country and around the world are all reading the same page or two or three in the key each week, and that's forming the basis for the group discussion. And as you say, I'm having the same experience as well, knowing that everyone around the world and around the country is doing the same reading each week, there's a real sense of sangha and support for me in doing that.
I had an image of the monastery blossoming and then spurting out all these seeds that are being planted all over the place. And now these seeds are beginning to land in fertile ground and begin their own little sangha growths here and there. And it's just very fertile time, it feels like, in my practice, as well as being part of this facilitation training.
Yes, it's great. It's great. So the that's a great image, the monastery blossoming and then all these seeds being sent around the country and around the world and finding that fertile, rich rich soil in which to grow.
And they keep watering us and tending us.
And they keep watering us. Yes, yes, it's great. The regular weekly support that we're getting as part of that facilitation training. And so we can bring back our experience from the reading from each week and we can all check in and see where we are. That is really, really helpful. And for me, it helps to keep me on the same page and on track.
Yeah, and it would have been possible for me. I don't have the means to travel back and forth across the country for this, so I'm very grateful for the opportunity.
Wonderful. And I'm grateful for the opportunity of you joining us tonight, Rumita.
Thank you, Michael. It's been a pleasure.
Great. Thank you for joining us.
Good night.
Good night. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Melinda, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center.
Hi,
welcome,
Michael.
Melinda. How are you?
Good. I'm glad we connected, having some interesting phone issues here at the monastery.
Fascinating, fascinating as usual.
Yes.
You know
what?
What? willingness always comes through in a pinch.
Yes, isn't that grand? Speaking of the key, and the name of the key is willingness.
Yes, speaking of the key.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the piece of the conversation between you and Ramita that I was able to tune in for, and love the flower and seeds and watering analogy.
Yes. Yes, it's great, isn't it?
It really is. That book is so... it's just such an amazing book, and to be going through it one page at a time sort of really highlights how powerful it is.
Yes, I remember reading the first page and in our discussion group talking about how we could just repeat that first page over and over again.
Yes, yeah, yep, exactly.
Wonderful. Linda, I have a message here I'd like to read, and then we'll get to our callers.
All righty.
Hello, this is Chris from Seattle. I committed last year to call in every 6 weeks when I have a Tuesday off from work. My rotation has just changed, and my new schedule skipped right over my next available Tuesday. I'll be calling next on September 1st. I just wanted to recommit over the air, because in my experience, the public commitment adds a little, quote, something, unquote, to the willingness. Thank you, Guide and Michael, for being there. You are, I project, appreciated by many. Gasho from Chris.
Isn't that great?
Isn't that great?
Yeah, I imagine he must be deep into the 30-day retreat that is in the book, Making a Change for Good. There's a lot in there about making that commitment and doing it in a way that we really, it's hard for conditioning to make us forget.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And for me, what's so helpful about that 30-day process is not only the content of the commitment, but the process that I bring to whatever commitment it is.
Yes, which has a lot to do with willingness, doesn't it?
It all comes back to wellness, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's great.
Great. Linda, we have several callers here waiting to talk with us.
Great, let's talk.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Melinda. Hi, Michael. This is Virginia from Washington State.
Hey, Virginia from Washington State. How you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
All right. What's going on?
Well, you know, I really wanted to call tonight, Melinda, and I'm just going to, I don't know, I'm just going to talk. I'm not really sure, but I think I'm looking at the abuse, you know, the cycle of abuse.
The cycle of abuse, okay.
Yeah, and, okay, so where, yeah, so I'm, and I think that, why I think that is because where I'm at right now is kind of like, at the end of the cycle, we're kind of seeing how it could have been done better, and kind of all the flaws and all the things that aren't right. Okay, I'll just blurt it out. All the things that aren't right and what needs to be fixed.
Yes, and so we have a clue about who I'm talking to, huh? Everything that's wrong. Right?
Yes. Everything is wrong. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, and I was sitting here earlier doing a little bit of writing. I could just see, oh, my gosh, so much energy going toward resisting how I am, you know, and just resisting, you know, life, I guess.
Yeah, resisting how you're being, and it sounds like firmly entrenched in a perspective that says the way you're being is not the right way to be.
I'm firmly entrenched in a perspective that says the way I'm being, not the way I should be.
Should. Yeah.
Should. Yeah.
Which is another good clue about who's here.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But you know, Melinda, I have to tell you that, I don't know, maybe what I'm going to say is just that sometimes it's like I'm there and I don't even know I'm there.
Sometimes you're...
It's like, it seems like maybe often I'm there in that place of not, of shooting, you know, like you should be different. it's like it's really hard for me sometimes to discern that I'm there because it's so, automatic.
It's so automatic, yeah. It's so habitual.
But
it's really hard to get it that we're in it again, except you're getting it because you laid it out so nicely just as you started.
You mean like with part of the cycle, you mean?
Yeah, well, the judgments and the, the shoulds and how it should have been and wasn't, and these are all the things that were wrong with whatever you did.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then that kind of opens up the whole thing of, and I guess that's another point, because then it opens up, I could, all this, now I can see how I need to be, and not just in this one instance, but like in all these other instances. And of course, I guess what this is leading to is like awareness without having to change or fix anything.
Yes. Somebody once said, I think it was Sarah Jenkins, that seeing without compassion is self-hate.
Oh, my gosh. That's exactly true.
Yeah, it sounds like what you're describing.
Yeah.
But you're seeing something that's probably really valuable to see, but then in comes self-hate rather than compassion to say it ought to be different.
Right.
And Virginia, you started by saying that you've been looking at a cycle of abuse.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you kind of got to the punchline. Just in terms of I don't know if it's the last thing, but something at some point along comes the judge and points out all the flaws that the judge sees.
Oh, yeah. And then that kind of just leads to it just starts the whole thing over again.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So what else have you been seeing about the cycle of abuse?
Well, it almost seems like that, I'm not sure, Melinda, but I guess it almost seems like that one, that there's like a little sub-loop that it's like that if the person comes out, what you're doing is not right, and then there's a whole big effort is launched to try and fix that person.
Ah.
And then,
and make it right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Make it right, and then everything will be all right. And so much energy is expended toward that, goal, I guess. It's like there's no, once you see, so there's this whole other loop that happens about the fixing and making the plans to get fixed and,
Sure, yeah, right. It's sort of like the place where we go to the store to buy the new self-help book.
Right. Bingo.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a plan.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly. Right, to do the body work, do something to move the energy somehow, go to something to make
it. Yeah.
And so maybe, so then,
To make it different.
To make it different.
Yep.
So then maybe,
Hmm?
Well, maybe then, as we're speaking, it just is occurring to me that maybe then...
What was occurring to you?
Well, something about the idea is more like in acceptance. Insights come as, like, maybe there is another step to take to wait for an insight to come.
Ah.
When in acceptance, that insight could come.
Yes. Yes, and what I was seeing as you were formulating that is that in the waiting, in the being patient rather than taking up a new program, the waiting sort of neutralizes the person who thinks she needs to do something.
The waiting neutralizes the person who thinks she needs to do something.
Yeah, because there's just waiting. Let's wait and see. There's really nothing to do except sit here and see what happens next. And that disempowers the one that you were describing is, you know, she does the planning, she signs up for the gym, she buys a new book, she does the whatever. She doesn't want to just wait because she needs to do something. But just waiting sort of makes it possible, as you're saying, for insights about what really would be helpful to drop in, and acceptance kind of in the waiting.
Right. Because just when I hear you speak, it just occurs to me that acceptance is so healing. Just it's, itself is so healing.
Yes. Yes. Yes, 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 yes.
And Melinda, then, and also to be kind to the person who just wants to drive it. And
why not?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, and give her something to, besides the steering wheel.
Yeah.
Put her hands on.
Put her hands on?
Yeah. So yeah. She wants to do something. Just that's okay. We can accept that, too. Just don't put her in the driver's seat.
That's very helpful. And when you asked me what else I was seeing about the cycle of abuse, I guess there's a certain shame and about feeling about that that goes with it. I don't know. I'm not sure what else to say. It's that I'm even ashamed to tell you that I'm involved with the cycle of abuse. And then when I'm in it, I don't know. There's a soul shame thing involved.
Uh-huh. So it sounds like there's at least one part of you who believes it.
Oh, yeah.
Who has some beliefs about, well, shoulds and shouldn'ts in relation to what's being labeled a cycle of abuse.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So you're saying even the cycle of abuse goes into the big basket of acceptance.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Something just shifted, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That never occurred to me. It just never occurred to me.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Conditioning isn't inclined to drop in sentences like or words like acceptance in the middle of you're doing something that some part of you feels shame about. It's more likely to drop in things like, don't tell anybody.
Right. Yeah, and this just goes to show what a bad person you are. You really are.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we know that's a projection.
The self-hate is projecting what it feels about itself onto me.
Don't you think so?
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. So, Melinda, I just want to ask you one other question, then I'll get off the phone. But if there's a part that really does want a change or a shift, now see, I'm kind of going back to that place, that person that really wants it. But there's a part that really looks at the whole thing and says, you know, you could just be happy. I mean, life could just be happy for you.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't have to be full of. No, it doesn't have to be full of self-hate and depression and all these things. It could be that you could just be happy, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, somebody kind of lays it out in those terms, like maybe it's not so hard. Maybe you just have to, I don't know, I'm sure exactly what I'm trying to say here, but sometimes it seems like there's a choice. There's like a big choice to be made, and it's like, are you going to go down this one path or are you going to go down this other path?
Yes, yeah, and that's a really interesting place to look, isn't it? Because that could be coming, as I hear it, it could be coming from more self-hate, again, telling you you're not doing it the way you should be doing it, or it could be coming from your own experience of being happy, even when things aren't going that great, and knowing for yourself that that's available.
So just to pay close attention when that thing comes up and to see, try and just see what, be with it, I guess, is really more the thing.
Sounds good to me. And, you know, go ahead and try being happy and see if conditioning will just, you know, kind of move out of the picture while you're doing that.
Okay. All right. Yeah, really appreciate it.
As long as there's no beatings, if that's not where you go.
Gotcha. Okay. As long as there's no beatings, if that's not where I go.
Yeah, as long as there's no beatings, hey, none of it's a problem.
Right. Okay. So just experiment. It's okay to experiment.
I bet you know the answer to that one.
Yeah. with the spirit of, you know.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Yeah, if you didn't know the answer to that, you wouldn't have called in.
Yeah. Thanks, Melinda. I'm going to listen to this when it gets posted. And I'm going to
Great. Thanks for calling in, Virginia. Good to talk to you.
Same here. I really appreciate it. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Welcome back to Open Air. Melinda, are you there?
I am. Thank you, Michael. I think maybe, you know, it's just a day for phone oddities.
Could be. I'm glad to hear you loud and clear, and I'm glad you can hear me.
Yeah. Same here. I think maybe it was the phone I was using, but who knows? Who knows? We'll see how this one goes.
Yes.
We have some patient callers out there.
We have some very, very patient callers, and I'm going to
connect
with them.
One
right now. Next call, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself? Next call. Okay, we lost that caller. Let's try another one here, Melinda.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Patty from Los Angeles.
Hi, Patty. Thank you for
being
on hold however long.
No problem. So conditioning really did not want me to call in tonight.
Good going on your part.
Yeah, the voices keep telling me that I have no right to call in because I haven't been practicing that long and I haven't even been to a retreat yet. And there are all these other people who have been doing it for much longer and they know what they're talking about, and I shouldn't be taking up their airspace.
Interesting. It's not going to come in with something like, you know, because of all that, it's a really good idea to call in.
Yeah, right. Right.
It's going to tell you those are all the
And so I decided, you know, I committed to myself that I was going to call back again this week. And then something came up during the week. I was invited to a birthday party that was exactly the same time as the radio show. And I had already, you know, made the commitment to call the radio show. I had it on my calendar and everything. And then when this invitation came to this party, I didn't even really want to go to that party, but I felt mm-hmm. that there were reasons that where I felt like I should go. And then I was kind of undecided about it up until last night, and then the voices really kicked in last night, and I found myself having a very long, tortured conversation in my head about which thing I should do. Should I go to this party or should I call the radio show? I guess the argument for going to this party was, or the most compelling argument about it was this story about how, you know, whenever I decide I don't want to go to some social event, it's because I'm socially awkward and I'm too shy and I'm just afraid, and that, you know, that clearly that's something that's very wrong with me and that I
need to overcome somehow.
I kind of saw that happening in the conversation in my head. I saw that it was full of shoulds and that it was full of self-hate. And, you know, but it was...
Hey,
And I got so sick of going
back
and forth.
There you are. I lost you there for a sentence, Patty.
Hello?
Yeah, I keep losing sentences. Michael, are you being able to hear her continuously?
I'm hearing her blip out a little bit occasionally also.
Okay. So, Patty, I'm going to reflect a little bit just to let you know where I lost the conversation, which was what self-hate was doing to you in the middle of the night about, you really are awkward and social events are difficult for you, and where did it go from there?
Well, I finally decided I was sick of having this debate in my head.
Uh-huh.
So I flipped a coin, and I decided that if it were heads, that I was going to go to the party, and if it were tails, I was going to stay home and call the show, and that I could live with that decision no matter which side it came down on. And so I flipped it, and it said that I had to go to the party, and I said, okay, I've got to go to this party now, and let's see what happens now that I've made this decision. And what happened was I just kept thinking of reasons why I wanted to get out of it. It was just like there were all these things that I wanted to do other than just the radio show. There were other things, projects that I wanted to work on at home. And, there was no real part of me that wanted to go to that party.
I really hear that. Yep. Yeah.
And so that's when I decided I'm not gonna do this. I'm not gonna force myself to do this thing.
Yes. You're not gonna listen to conditioning telling you why you ought to do something that you kind of were getting you really didn't want to do.
Yeah, and I guess the reason that I wanted to call in for guidance and support on this is because, I kind of find this situation happening a lot where, it's like conditioning is, kind of using my practice against me. And it says to me that, this is something that is going to be good for you. If you force yourself to go into this situation, it'll be good for you because you'll face your fear.
Yes. As it pushes you with your heels dug in the ground towards something that just doesn't, it sounds like you get, just doesn't feel kind to you.
Yeah. Yeah, and it would have been, I think, more obvious had it been not a party, but something that really was, I guess, clearly unpleasant. Then it would have been more obvious that I was being dragged.
Right.
But because it was a party and it was for a good friend and I, there was a feeling of like, well, I guess I should really be looking forward to this.
Yes. Everybody likes parties, and it is, after all, a good friend, and therefore, it should be something you want to do.
Yeah.
And you discovered that it, in fact, wasn't, and that it was more fun, it sounds like, to stay home and keep the initial commitment of calling into the radio show tonight.
Yeah. I mean, I almost kind of felt like... I suspected that maybe this whole thing was just to keep me from keeping my commitment to the practice.
Isn't that, yeah. I think you might very well be on to something. And I wanted to tuck in a little commercial announcement about the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreats, which you probably have heard about a lot, but the retreat itself looks at exactly the kind of process that you are seeing conditioning put you through around parties and practice and all of that. It's just really, so somewhere on your calendar sometime when you can, check out one of those there's nothing wrong with your retreats.
Yeah, I'm scheduled to go in October. So
right.
Yeah, very, very much looking forward to that.
Great. And I also wanted to say that I think your coin toss was very Zen. It's such a wonderful way to both, you know, look at commitment and to find out what's going on underneath everything when we're in a debate like that internally. That, yeah, I flipped it and this is how it came out, and I didn't like the way it came out.
Mm-hmm.
Which gave you a good bit of information.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing that kind of made a light bulb go off was I was thinking about what I had originally wanted to talk about last week when I called in. And interestingly, it was that the thing that I was calling about was a situation where I, again, you know, a situation where I felt socially left out. And I was hearing a lot of voices telling me that, you know, there's something wrong with you because you don't know how to, you know, talk to these people. And, you know, they're all making friends and you're not part of it. And, you know, just that whole kind of litany that, that when I realized that that was the issue that I had called to talk about last week, and it kind of, I kind of put it together that, oh, wow, you know, this is the same conversation is happening about another thing.
Yes, very perfect, but it's a process that you see conditioning putting you through. And it sounds like it probably happens over and over and over again. It's kind of a, it may be a kind of a theme for you. And
yeah,
really,
you know, I don't,
so helpful to begin to pull it apart the way you're doing.
Yeah, you know, I feel like, you know, it's kind of tapping into this very young person in me, you know, that like an awkward preteen kind of that. Is very insecure.
Yep. Feels completely sort of not at home in her body, perhaps. Really awkward in social situations. And I could project has never really had any mentoring from anybody who was other than trying to push her into doing things she didn't feel comfortable doing.
Yeah. I mean, I've been meaning to spend more time with that person. But I'm not exactly sure how to do that.
Well, it sounds like you're kind of, does it feel like you're in communication with her?
Maybe a little bit. I mean, last night when I had, after flipping the coin and decided that I was going to go to the party, I think I was communicating with her a little bit. You know, I was kind of listening to her fears of, you know, what was the worst thing that was going to happen to her if she went to this party.
Right, right. Yeah, definitely.
You've probably
heard Sherry suggest periodically to people that the non-dominant hand exercise, where you let that little person do the writing with your non-dominant hand, and you ask the written questions with your dominant hand, and then give her, so you ask, you know, what is it about parties, or what is it about, you know, or what do you need, what would you like to do, whatever questions occur to you that you might like to know about her. You write those questions with your dominant hand and then let her respond with your non-dominant hand.
Okay, yeah, I've heard of that and I haven't tried it yet because there's a part of me that thinks I'll never be able to do it.
Of course.
Yeah.
And that'll be interesting too.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody sits down there with a pen in their non-dominant hand and it just won't move, well, okay. That's what's going on. No expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like that
right.
Little one would.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Melinda.
Well, you're very welcome, and maybe get to see you in October.
That would be great.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, thanks, bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Patty. You're listening to Open Air. Tonight it's our privilege to have with us Melinda, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Melinda, we're going to have some sponsor breaks here, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you bathed in an ocean of roses? What if you swam in a river of joy?
Welcome back to Open Air. Melinda, I always find that music so inspiring.
Hey, would you say that again, Michael?
I always find that music from Trish Brooksford Colligan so inspiring.
Oh, I do too. And relaxing. There's something about it that just is, I find, very soothing.
Yes. Yes, that's my experience as well. Melinda, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Melinda. This is Beth.
Hey, Beth.
Hello.
How's it going?
The song that's going through my head is How Do You Solve a Problem Like Maria?
Yes.
Are you there? I'm kind of feeling like Maria.
You're feeling like Maria. You're feeling like a problem?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Can you say a bit more?
If you're not on the edge, you're taking up too much space.
If you're not on the edge, you're taking up too much space. Okay.
It seems like in the last 3 or 4 years that I get close to the edge, I fall off the edge. Things start to get a little comfortable, and then there's the edge again.
So you're on an edge. And then you move away from the edge, and you start to get uncomfortable. You fall off the edge, so you back up. So.
Yeah, I mean, things just kind of fall apart around me. well, you know, with the economy the way it is, I've lost, I'm making almost half of what I made 3 years ago. I really don't know what's going on.
You really don't know what's going on.
I don't know. Yeah. It seems like I know it's conditioning. I know that nothing is permanent. I know.
Yeah, all good intellectual understandings anyway.
Yep. And I know that there's nothing that I need to do, but I need to do something.
Uh-huh.
It feels like
yeah.
something is required of me.
Say, oh, yes, but.
Well, that, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, that is one of my traps of the ostrich with the egg, the head in the sand. So
yes.
I just don't pay attention to what's going on and when.
Sure that I'm being able to hear everything you're saying, Beth. There seem to be some echoes here. I fall offline again, Michael?
I'm having the same experience, Melinda.
Okay.
Okay, well, you know, the bottom line is that I'm, it's hard doing it on my own. It's really hard being out here on my own. So I'm kind of reaching out to Sangha, just to be connected. So whether you can hear me or not,
yeah,
my calling is kind of all that I needed.
So, yes, you're realizing that you're that actually the out there on the edge makes you isolated.
Yeah,
and it sounds like you decided with this call to step in a little closer away from the edge. And
well, you know, it's also like I remember Jim at the monastery telling a story about, you know, being out on the ocean, clinging to a raft from a sunken ship, looking, you know, no hope in sight, no help, and all of a sudden you're making your mermaid. You know, I'm clinging to
yeah.
a raft.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And what's opening up in front of you?
It doesn't feel like anything's opening up, which means I'm still in the head. I'm looking with my
you
eyes.
Means what? You what?
I'm looking with my mental eyes, and I'm not seeing anything.
You're looking with your mental eyes. And not seeing anything. And tell me, Beth, when you've been kind of over the edge, does that fit the description of what you're saying now? When you've been over the edge before?
Yeah.
What
mm-hmm.
what pulled you back in?
Well, it's just that life goes on.
Say it
again. You can't hold on to anything. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I couldn't quite understand what your last sentence was.
I mean, it's kind of like in hearing what I was saying, it's like, I know that it's kind of like, I know. Service is a real gift. My cleaning is a real gift. These are all things that get me out of myself.
Gotcha. Yes. I think that, yes, I think that is so for all of us. So service gets you out of yourself.
But it's also I get out of myself in a way that doesn't take care of myself. And that's kind of like conditioning's form of practice.
Aha. Aha. So it can, you can find yourself doing things that may look like service, but in fact they are not timed.
And kind of getting it, somebody's going to save me.
Couldn't quite understand what. Say it again.
There's a part of me that's waiting for somebody to save me.
Ah, yes. Yes. Yes, that feels like it's
I'm
so
not
true
doing
for
it,
so many of us.
Doing it.
And we it's so hard to find that part within. It can be so hard. It can also be a matter of going to that place of acceptance. And, okay, this is what's going on right now.
Yes.
Now, that's all my language, not necessarily yours.
Right. Which is that place of acceptance.
Yeah.
This is a very strange conversation.
Huh?
It's a strange conversation with the half heard and the half not heard. I think you
yes.
said something I didn't hear.
The conversation we're having?
Yes. I think
yeah.
you said something I
yeah.
didn't hear.
Well, it was probably about acceptance. And what I'm seeing, and wonder what you might see in, you called in. And punched in those numbers?
Okay, didn't get any of that. I the last thing I heard was something you were seeing.
Yeah, well, it's so you called in 10 minutes ago, 5 minutes ago, right?
Yes.
Who did that?
I have no
you
idea. Yeah.
But she's got your body. There. Get to know her.
So
she's a strong woman.
I'm not hearing it. So, yes. Thank you, and I love you.
Keep us posted, huh?
I'm assuming that the call, I can't hear anything back, so I'm assuming.
Okay, call again, Beth.
Thank you for joining us, Beth. You're listening to Open Air. Melinda, can you hear me okay?
I can, Michael.
Okay. It's I can see that it's getting challenging for you and the callers.
Are there still callers?
There is one more caller, and I'm just wondering if we want to put the caller through this, you and this caller through the challenges of tonight's technical difficulties.
You know, I think let's just give a strong encouragement for everybody to call back next week.
I think that's a great idea, Melinda. And we'll hope that we have better...
Where it belongs or whatever it is that's causing all this.
Yes.
So people can have a coherent conversation.
Yes. Yes, from what I can hear.
For sharing with it all, Michael.
Say that again, Melinda.
Thank you.
Thank you, Melinda. We'll do it again next week.
Good night.
Good night.